The Outskirts of Faith podcast is brought to you by Monkey Nut Audiobooks, creating audiobooks, podcasts and voiceovers that keep people listening. The
Outskirts of Faith. Hello and welcome to the Outskirts of Faith podcast, the podcast that is literally for everyone. Conversation that's been going on for around 2,000 years, and the source of that conversation was fueled from the beginning of time. Let's see what's happening on today's episode.
Whether people acknowledge God or not, He is still giving them gifts. He is still, you know, has plans for their lives. The world has become just so fearful of not being responsible to cause any kind of offense. People are aware of their shortcomings. They don't need to be told if they fall short. They already know that. People are concerned not to intrude. And also people might feel they can't explain it very well if they were asked a question or something. So there's all kinds of reasons why people don't share their faith.
So today I am joined by Ted Piker, who grew up in America, came over to England when he was studying at uni. And though he's retired, he uses his time, it doesn't sound like he's retired, he uses his time for writing, mentoring, and conversational evangelism. Ted, you are very, very welcome here today.
Thank you for having me here.
Conversational evangelism, what is that?
Well, it just means sharing your faith and exploring spiritual things with people that you hadn't previously met necessarily. Maybe you're while you're traveling or you're in a cafe. It's just doing it in a conversational way and having a normal conversation, seeing where it goes and, you know, trying to be helpful to the person wherever they're at on their journey. And, you know, often there'll be an opportunity to share something in my own journey. And I love doing it.
And do you find that when you're out doing this great work, do you find that people naturally just find themselves in front of you? You mentioned like a cafe, for example. Do you go looking or do you find that conversation just happens naturally?
Well, now that I'm doing it more intentionally, I'm finding incredible things happen. Like suddenly, like in a really busy train, a whole carriage will be empty and I'm having this conversation with people that we needed a bit of privacy for. And it's just, I don't know, it just seems like, it just I'm walking into something that God has set up so often.
And has that always been the case? Was that, let's say, before you retired, or is this something that happened later on?
Probably the last 20 or 30 years, I probably have been doing it quite a lot, maybe even 40 years. But I think that what's changed is that I seem to be more relaxed about it. I seem to, you know, expect God to turn up and to arrange these divine appointments. So I don't know. It's just freaking me out, frankly, actually, how often it's happening, how easily it's happening.
It's interesting, isn't it, how you've started your day with prayer, you've invited the Holy Spirit in your day. It's amazing the impact you can actually make on other people's lives, and also vice versa. It's not just a one-way thing. People turn up, you feel like you've got conversation to give them, but actually you're the one walking away going, thank you so much.
Definitely. And I love it when I get challenged about some stuff. I'd like, you know, I like it when people will ask me tough questions, but it usually doesn't go that way so much. It's usually just, I will reflect on that time. And to be frank, really, Elliot, it's more a case I walk away just amazed that God set it up. That's what hits me hardest.
So Ted, tell me about your writing.
I wrote poetry for many years and I started doing some short stories. And then I decided I'd try and write a novel, which turned out to be a novella because it was like 17,000 words. I found out how hard it is to write fiction and I had a lot to learn. And my friend Steve really encouraged me in that journey. So I'm writing a piece of fiction that I'm hoping will be fun, entertaining, gripping, unusual, and that will show the kind of real life stuff about people's lives. And it'll have a spiritual element to it as well.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah.
So just for people who will, at the end of this, want a piece of that, is there any way they could find out when you're going to release things or when that will be completed?
Sure. Well, I've actually published my novella on the one I've completed on Kindle, and it's called Tummies. That's T-U-M-M-I-E-S.
Fantastic.
And so that's up there, and it's probably a couple of months away for the next one. That first one is more just hopefully good storytelling about a guy who adopts a cafe, and they turns out they adopt him.
Well, for someone who records and produces a lot of audiobooks, I'm in awe of all authors. So we're talking Outskirts of Faith.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself or witnessed somebody on the outskirts of faith? And what did that look like?
Sure. Often I've met people that are on the outskirts of faith. I guess one example was we had a family stay with us, similar age to us, and had young kids. And they'd hoped to stay for 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe 6 days. I can't remember. But just after just a couple of days, they said, oh, we kind of need to get back home. We actually knew that it was because they were struggling with the fact that their kids were, you know, weren't settling at night. They were hard to control and things. And they're just normal kids, you know, normal life. But they were just felt embarrassed about that. And so in that situation, they wanted to know how do we handle parenting and so forth. We had a really good chat. And then about an hour later, they knocked on our door and said, just want to thank you for that chat. And anyway, but it turned out they did then move to come to faith. And so it was just happened as part of life.
A word I picked up on there was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I think that people can feel embarrassed and I for many different reasons.
Yeah.
And I think that it can actually be a little bit of a brick wall for some people as well.
Definitely.
And what I'm actually thinking about here is, I think there's a link to maybe like sin and things like that, when they may be embarrassed about things they've done or things they're doing.
Yes.
But do you find that within your conversations that you have with people, does that topic ever pop up that they have, and then you can have the conversation about, well, you know, your sins can be forgiven?
It's interesting. What I have learned, by the way, is people are aware of their shortcomings. They don't need to be told they fall short. Mm. They already know that. So I think that's a very good observation on your side. It doesn't really come up that much. I realize as I look back that so many of my conversations are really kind of more pastoral in the sense that something's going on in their life and I'm speaking into that and encouraging them about that. They may then have some questions, but it isn't often that someone will say, I want to confess this to you.
I think it's lovely that you give that encouragement. And I think that for people who are listening to this and do have an interest in the Christian faith is that there is so much encouragement within the Christian faith. You know, if you go to a church, and I do always say this, I mean, I've said, sorry if you've heard it a million times before at home, but, you know, if you go through a door at one church and it's not right for you, it doesn't mean church isn't right for you. There's another door. And so, for example, I've got lots of options with churches near me, but the one I go through, I just feel so encouraged and embraced every time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. If church hasn't worked out for somebody somewhere, I say very much the same thing to them. I actually think that, you know, as we go through life, we go through different stages of our own kind of character growth. It might actually be we go through a phase and we mess up. We might even kind of mess up in that church situation and we need a fresh start and we need another church and God's fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that you can... I'm just going off topic here. Would you say you can self-church?
Just you and God, you mean?
Yes.
Well, actually, if you're forced to by your circumstances, you literally cannot be with anybody else, then you do because you have to. But other than that, I think what God has for us is to be in family. So the straight answer in normal circumstances would be no, simply because God has called us into something, into relationship. And in fact, our relationships are actually what people need to see. Mm. Jesus said, they'll know you're my followers because of your love for one another. If they can't see us loving one another, they can't really know that we're his followers. That's what he said.
Yeah, very true. And a lot of that can be found in the scripture, in the scriptures. And speaking of scriptures, I have asked you to bring a piece of scripture with you today.
Sure.
Could you tell us what it is? Could you read it to us and then say why you chose that today, please?
Sure. I've chose Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. And the reason I chose that is because it really is how I do life, in that I'm very aware of what's happening during my day and seeing what God is doing or what he's wanting to be doing. And I find that as I acknowledge that and thank him for that, that he then makes my way even more clear. He makes my path straight.
Ted, I don't usually do this, but let's break that down. Would you mind just breaking it down line by line? Just because I think that this could benefit a lot of people.
Sure.
And it would be lovely if you could just explain each line.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it's important that we know that that word heart means your affections, really. Trust in the Lord with as though he really matters and you really trust him. So that's trusting the Lord with all your heart. That can actually mean that other things that you feel that you're worried about something. And it's almost like it becomes an idol. And it's like so important to find out if this is going to work out or not, that you cannot be kind of at peace with God until that you've sorted out. That's okay. Well, that's an idol because, you know, if you're trusting God with all your heart, that comes first. Anyway, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The not on your own understanding is simply that God has given us this great intellect and we figure things out and we want to know why things have happened and what's going to happen next. But if we lean on that, if we just go by how we've perceived what we think is happening, we can be wrong, and B, it can, you know, the situation can change and you know, it'll be untrustworthy. So trust not with all your heart, lean not on your understanding. And then the acknowledge him in all your ways is just be observant of what God is doing, give him thanks for it, and then expect him. That's the thing is it builds your faith because you expect something to happen because he's shown you why that happened. Then he knows you're ready to show you what else he wants to happen.
I think you've explained that very well. Thank you. With the expecting side of it, it's okay to expect, isn't it? It's okay to expect.
I couldn't live life if I wasn't expecting. Yeah. I just couldn't live.
But the thing is, you can't be too internal with that. You know, you can't be like, I expect you to give me 5 million by the end of the day. You know,
I see. Yeah, yeah.
There is a, to understand it, I think you need to strip away what it doesn't mean as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like you expect everything to always work out. But you expect, you know God's good and he'll do good things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I find that something which really boosts my confidence every day, and we all need it. We all need it from time to time, is I like to come down early from the kids and my wife, they're all getting sort of ready upstairs. And I do everything. I, you know, make the packed lunches and I hoover and sort the kitchen out, whatever. And I just have a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't go into this deep prayer. And I want to make that quite clear as well. Like you hear me say it a lot in the podcast, is that prayer is different for everybody. And I do have times where I close my eyes and I really dedicate. But then there are times when I'm just saying, God, Father. And I like using the word Father. You know, it's just, today, I really would appreciate this happening. And just have a conversation. And you suddenly do feel the Holy Spirit and you do feel that it's going to be all right.
Yeah. It's being real with God. I like it.
Being real with God. Yeah, exactly. So I'm loving the explanations that are coming on today. And I'm really, really grateful for that, Ted, which does lead me beautifully to our next stage of the podcast, which is...
What does it mean?
I really don't have a clue.
That's right. We have come to the next stage where one thing that I found, I'm not sure if you found this along the way, is that there are so many words and phrases which can just put up a bit of a barrier.
Yeah.
You think so, oh, do you know, I'd be quite interested to go to church or speak to someone, you know, just to have a chat with somebody about Christianity or about Jesus or God. But there are words that I don't really understand, I don't really get. And I think it's good to address those words. And some of them are more simple, the words we use every day. But what does it actually mean? So the words will pop up a few times, but I've got a word for you today. And I wondered if you wouldn't mind explaining in your best words what this word means and what it means to you. Your word is religion.
Okay, religion. I think at its most basic level, it means a set of beliefs. And the reason why I think it's important, that word, is because people do see it differently. I'll often be with other Christians, and maybe we're talking to someone who's on a journey where they don't see themselves as a Christian at that point, and so on. And the person says, oh, you're very religious. And then often I'll find my fellow believer will go, oh, no, I'm not religious. And you just told me you go to church and you read your Bible and you pray to God and so forth. And I'm thinking, just say I'm religious. You know, that's just a big, that's the way they use the word. So use it their way. That's fine. Christians, they don't want to see themselves as religious in the sense of doing things by habit or following certain routines and rules and so forth. They want to say, quite rightly, as I would say, I have a relationship with God. And it's very real. I'm getting to know him better and I feel I'm on a journey with him. So that's my faith. That's my religion. I think the word does mean different things to different people.
Do you think that people shouldn't be so afraid to have conversation with each other about Christianity? So there are lots of different religions out there and people often talk and sometimes shout about things. But this whole religion based around the essence of love.
Yes.
You know, I mean, why aren't we talking about this more? Why do you think people are so, I don't know if afraid is the word, just to keep a bit quiet and a bit timid and maybe a kid to Sunday?
I think the thing is that people are concerned not to intrude. People are concerned not to offend. And in terms of sharing their faith, and also people might feel they can't explain it very well if they were asked a question or something. So there's all kinds of reasons why people don't share their faith. But reasons why people don't just have, you know, conversations where they don't see things the same way. I just think that the world has become just so fearful. I think that is the right word to use. You know, the world has become fearful of not being responsible to cause any kind of offense. I mean, You know, I get in conversations where, I was in one just a couple of weeks ago, where we were really going at it, you know, and it felt so good and right and healthy to be able to disagree. And it wasn't toxic. You know, this was someone from another faith and another kind of a third party there listening as well, or in the, you know, observing anyway. And it just felt so good. Like, you know, nobody died, you know, we spoke our minds, we challenged each other, we answered each other's questions, we listened well. It just felt so, so healthy.
I would love to get your answer to this question. It's just popped into my head.
Yeah.
So let's just say we've started talking.
Yeah.
And I've said this question. I wonder what your answer would be. Why should I be a Christian?
Well, I think the reason why you should be Christian is because you get to meet God. You get to find out there's this real father heart that is reaching out to you and has been all your life. You get to find out that, you know, he wants to heal the stuff that's happened to you. He wants you to really get to know yourself and, you know, so you can be more of who you were meant to be, what he created you to be, and so that you can go on an adventure with him because he's got plans.
Jay, it's funny. Every time you say something, I want to trigger off something else. But you're saying about being who you're meant to be. I'm a big believer in this. You know, I believe that everybody has been given gifts. Otherwise, we'd all be the same, right? We've all, you know, where you. I was in London recently and I was with my young boy. And at the time of this recording, he's just turning 7. We were talking about graffiti.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, what do I say here? And I said, look, you know what? Like, you've got graffiti, which may be a bit messy and sort of like kind of vandalizing kind of thing and just destroy it. But look at that bit of graffiti. Look at that skill.
Yeah.
Look what God's given that person.
Yeah.
What talent. I could not do that. So I said to him, wouldn't it be amazing if somebody was able to give that person a job where they could use that skill set? You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that for everybody, if you've got, everybody's got these gifts, and I think it's really good to turn to God and say, help me use these gifts. Because what would that look like if we all were able to use our gifts to the best of our ability?
That's right. And I think that whether people acknowledge God or not, he is still giving them gifts. He is still, you know, has plans for their lives. It's simply that you can be directed in that more effectively, more fruitfully, and more joyfully when you feel like you've got someone alongside you who's speaking wisdom into your life and opening doors for you and all that kind of stuff.
I think when people are talking about Jesus or God, their default can be, even people who want to believe, people who are on the outskirts, their default could be, well, how can all this be happening? How can this be happening? So I think that if you look correctly, you can see so much of God everywhere you look. So I'm curious, where have you seen God working recently?
Well, I started coming back from Heathrow Airport and getting a taxi back to our hometown. It was a Pakistani Muslim taxi driver, very personable guy. And he shared some stuff with me about some things in his earlier adult life where, you know, he'd experienced some trauma and then he had some help with that, particularly his wife helped him with that, getting some healing over that and so forth. And he was just such a candid, it was, you know, unusual. It was a very unusual conversation, very candid. We obviously realized we had a lot in common and so forth. And then like 2.5 years later, my wife and I were coming back from the airport and we had the same taxi driver. And he remembered me before I remembered him.
Out of all of the taxi drivers, you found out with the same one.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so on this journey, I was sharing just about the Father Heart of God and so on. And then when we got back to our house, I said, look, you know, we stood at the top of the driveway with the suitcases down on the ground there. And I said, look, can I just say a prayer for us? And he said, yeah. And so I did. And he was just starting to well up, you know, and we just made such a real connection. You know, it was almost as if our different faiths didn't matter at that point. We had connected and we exchanged numbers. And now he and I, and sometimes a neighbor as well, we just go for these hour and a quarter walks because we all want to try and keep fit, you know, in the evening up and down the hills of our town on the pavement there. We've been to their house for some food. They've been to ours, you know, and his wife. And I've just got this new friendship in my life.
It's beautiful. I want to really jump on that because, and just explain to everyone, listen to this, the importance of praying for people. And I think a lot of people feel like they tick a box. And please don't get me wrong. It's really important to do this. But they tick a box by sort of saying, having maybe a group and praying in the evenings for people. And that's a really important that we do that. It really is. But if you can take that swallow, take that deep breath and actually say to somebody, can I pray for you? You'll be amazed what you receive. I'm a big believer in this myself. It's something that's, I'd say, is fairly new, maybe for the past 8 to 12 months with myself. And I had someone who came around, they cleaned the carpet. You know, I've got a dog, so my carpet can generally smell.
Sure.
And I've got a golden retriever, enough said. And they came around and he just walked into the kitchen. He got off the phone from someone and he looked at me and went, "I just got off the hospital." And I thought, interesting. You've never met me. You've said that.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, I'm going to ask and I'm going to shut up. So I asked and we got talking. And at the end of it, I said to him, "Before you leave today, I'd love to pray for you." And he went, "Oh, okay, okay." Now, don't get me wrong. I let him do the job first. I want to make sure he didn't. No. I said, "You know, can I pray for you?" And before he left the door, he sort of looked at me, but he was about to leave. And before he left, I ran after him. I said, "Can we do that?" Anyway, did a prayer and put my hand on his shoulder. We did that. And he stopped afterwards and he said, "Thank you so much. Thank you."
Yeah.
And he went to leave and he turned around. And I was like, enough, you know. So he turned around and said, "No, seriously, thank you. It's really nice knowing someone cares," which gave me the opportunity to say, "God cares. I'm just doing this."
Yeah, nice.
In the name of God, you know. And but we had, like I said, we had that connection, and it's a ripple effect. Love is a ripple effect.
It is,
you know. And I'd like to think that he will go off.
Yeah.
And maybe, but you know what I'd pray for is that he would go off, have a conversation with someone about what happened today, and they say, "Well, do you know what? Yeah, we understand. We're Christians. Why don't you pop to church with us this Sunday?"
Yeah.
You don't know, but I think it's really important to connect. And I want to say another thing. When I first started doing this, I was scared. I was scared to do it. It was really difficult. It's in the throat. It's like you're about to throw up or something.
Yeah.
It's down. I'm like, "Can I pray for you?" Do you know what? Can I? And you just do it. The more practice you do,
yes,
the easier it comes. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're inviting the presence of God, and people are hungry to feel God. I know that as we pray, God comes, and people are so open to it. You're absolutely right. You know, I hold my hand up and saying, you know, I've been reluctant at times when by now I shouldn't need to be.
Well, we've now moved on to the next stage of the podcast, which is some people's favorites, because it's now time for
Splat the Gnat.
That's right. It's now time for Splat the Gnat. And I'll do a quick brief because a lot of people have heard this already. But we're saying that things happen in people's lives, things that distract you from walking in just having a good day or walking in the presence of God. It could be something that just comes up like a film, like a brick wall in front of you. And it could be a bit of trauma. It could be a bit of road rage. It could be anything, something you see on the news. And what we can actually do is we can swat that gnat, that thing that keeps flying back in your face, and we can pick it up and we can hand it to God and say, "God, you take that for me." And it clears, it really does, it clears your mind and you can get on with your day. And it doesn't mean it disappears, but what it means is that you're then working with God to deal with that. You are not alone. And I'm curious, with everything that you see and everything that goes around, what would you like to splat? If you could splat something right now and hand it to God and say, "Right, let's deal with that right now," what would that be?
I think it would be that I would like everybody hearing this podcast to be encouraged in realizing that you can actually take hold of your own thought life. You can be like, you can be the lifeguard of the swimming pool, if I can use that metaphor. You know, it's your swimming pool. You're the lifeguard, and you get to decide who gets to go in the swimming pool. You get to decide what you think about. Mm. And I believe there is an enemy. There is a dark force that likes to discourage us and make us fearful and to tell lies to us. I don't look for that in everything, but he's pretty active in subtle ways because he's a very intelligent being. And so the gnat that I would like to splat is that we have to put up with that because we don't. And I think one of the key, one of the key ways to deal with that is A, be aware that it's happening, and then B, start to think, what is it that he's trying to stop you from doing? And then you realize, you know, that God is working through your life. You're helping other people. You're doing these various things. And you're actually becoming kind of less effective because you've got this thing that you're letting try to take over your life. And then when you realize what the name of the game is, then you can go, "I'm not having it." In fact, I've known times, Elliot, when I've thought, you know, he's picking the wrong guy to, he's chosen the wrong guy to pick on because I'm actually going to go in the opposite spirit. I'm going to go, you know, I'm feeling fearful or I'm feeling isolated. I'm going to go and find some people today in town. I'm going out now and I'm going to go and find some people and they're feeling discouraged about something and I'm going to bring encouragement. I'll actually do that to show that I am not a victim.
Right, right. Do you know what? I would have easily jumped onto this conversation, but I think you've worded it so perfectly for the message that we would love to get out there. I'm not going to continue with that. But what I want to say is that feel free to stop this podcast right now, go back a bit and listen to that again and see how it applies to your life. I would love to see that. Okay, so to finish off, we're getting near the end now and of this podcast, but I'd like to finish with three quick fire questions. Okay. Now, I'll say this now, not everyone has had all three right yet, okay? All right, no pressure, no pressure. But the way it works is I ask a question, I press the button, and then you've got time to think about it and then answer the question as best you can. The whole point of this is that we're just all learning together. You know, we're all just learning. I mean, I always say it, if you're hearing the audio, I sound quite intellectual when I give these answers. But if you're on YouTube, you'll see that I'm actually holding the iPad with the answers. So I don't know them all myself. So question number one, Ted. What was God's sign to Noah that he would never destroy the earth again?
It was a rainbow.
It was a rainbow indeed. It was a rainbow. And I've got here, it says, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And I think that a lot of people don't necessarily feel the gravitas of that turning point.
Yeah, it was a very powerful promise. We should remember it.
Yeah, we should, totally. Okay, question number two. And I'll just urge you, if any of these resonate with you, just write it into Google. You'll find where the scripture is and pick it up. Or if you're just on your phone, you know, just flick it through, read a little bit further. Okay, so we all know about Joseph. We know, most people know about the story of Joseph, or they may have even gone to see Joseph in a Technicolor Dreamcoat. So my question to you is, how many brothers did Joseph have?
He had 11.
He did have 11. 2 out of 2. Hang on, let me just do something for you here. There we go. I'm making it seem like we've got lots of people in the room. We haven't. Okay, so we've got, Joseph, son of Jacob and Rachel, had 10 half-brothers, one full brother, and at least one half-sister. And he was Rachel's firstborn and Jacob's 11th son. When I read about the one half-sister, I was a bit confused on that bit.
So am I.
Yeah, okay. Note to self to look into that a bit further. So can you name the 11?
Ooh, I can do some of them. I can't name them all.
Okay, well, that wasn't a question, so you'll get away with that. Okay. Okay, so I'm sticking with Joseph here. So what did Joseph tell his brothers about his dreams that upset them so? What did Joseph tell his brothers about his dreams that upset them?
Basically, he said that he was going to one day rule over them.
That's absolutely right. It said, I've got something here. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Then it says, we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Ted Piker, 3 out of 3. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Ted, before we sign off today, I would love it if you would close us in prayer. And then at the end of it, I'll just sign off, if that's okay.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me do that. Father God, we just thank you for all that's led to this conversation taking place. Mm. And we just want to pause and just rest and let you love on us, because you just love us so much. Help us to feel your love. Deliver us from lies and fears that really don't deserve to take the amount of headspace that they've got in our lives. Give us eyes to see your goodness in these next few hours, these next few days. Open our eyes to see your goodness so that we can acknowledge you, Lord, in doing that and knowing then that you will make our path even more straight, more direct, more blessed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. And Father, I just want to give thanks for today's conversation and for Ted and the work he's doing. And I just ask that more people turn up in front of his face so they can have those conversations and make new friends and bring people close to you. And I pray for everyone listening to this podcast, wherever they are in their walk of life, whatever they're going through right now, whether it be good times, bad times, struggling times, confusing times, that they may feel the Holy Spirit and they may feel your presence and can turn to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Outskirts of Faith podcast. And remember, you can join us on all our social media channels on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and all of those bits and pieces. Remember to use the hashtag OOF, OOF, Outskirts of Faith. That's hashtag OOF, and I absolutely love saying that. And of course, you can email the show podcast@outskirtsoffaith.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Outskirts of Faith podcast. We would love more people to join our community, so please subscribe, share this podcast, and join us on our social media. And of course, you can visit our resource website at outskirtsoffaith.com. This podcast was edited by Chris Byland, the YouTube video editing by Adam Moss, music by Matthew Salvage, and hosted by Elliot Frisbee.